Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning we'll be covering texts 38 and 40 of Canto 1, Chapter 3. So, where we ended up yesterday was, yeah, but the topic was Sutta Goswami is helping the audience, the sages, understand, appreciate correctly the position of the Lord, His appearance in this world, because that was described, the appearances of the Lord in this world, so they were described, ensuring that they're transcendental, ensuring that the understanding is their transcendental nature, in a number of very interesting ways. Making it clear also that living entity must also understand his own position as transcendental. Although taking birth, the soul is transcendental. Lord is transcendental, although he appears to take birth, his birth is his lila by the enactment of his own energy. Anyway, many nice understandings. And whatever he does, it's amoga, it's spotless. When the Lord appears, his connection with the material world, Prabhupada writes, only appears to be so. It's very superficial. He is connected with the material creation very superficially, as one smells odor without being connected with the odorous article. But he remains uncontaminated when he appears in this world. Then, 38, we're hearing, only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of a chariot in his hand, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. So first part of this goes to the qualification of pure devotional service. This is chapter 2. Excuse me, chapter 3, and in chapter 2 a similar message is also presented. Ahoituki aprati atayi atma supersediti. That verse. Who knows the verse? Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojata janiyati ashu vairagyam jnanam cha yadahaitukam. That's not it. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje ahoituki aprati yata. Ayatma supersediti. Paradharma is service that's without motivation and without interruption. Ahaituki, without hetu or material cause. What's the cause of devotional service? In the beginning, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that persons have the motivation. They have in categories of four. They're distressed and they want relief of their distress. So they turn to God. They lost their job in the recession and they're in financial distress, so they turn to God. So their economic difficulty of one type or another. Or they're simply curious. Or they're searching for knowledge. So they want something, or want something, or want something, or want something. And so they take up devotional service to fulfill that want. What is being spoken of here is devotional service that beyond that type, where one is trying to fulfill something. But what is that action where you're enthusiastically acting, but there's no anticipation of fulfilling something? What's that? Yeah. It's not of this world, because things of this world have their motivations. People want something. So it's acting from the soul. It's not acting from the coverings of the soul that the mind dictates or the senses dictates or anger, lust, greed, so on. It's directly acting from the soul, springing, arising spontaneously from the soul. Because as Prabhupada explains in the purport, everyone within the creation of the Lord is rendering service to the Lord, directly or indirectly. That's because that's our constitutional position. The soul, constitutionally, is servant of Krishna, so we're serving Krishna. Favorably, unfavorably, directly, indirectly, but we're serving Krishna. So the type of service where one can connect with Krishna, remember the verses from yesterday where the coverings are removed and one can see the Lord directly. Find that language specifically. If the illusory energy subsides, that's a big if, and the living entity becomes fully enriched with knowledge by the grace of the Lord, then he becomes at once enlightened with self-realization and thus becomes situated in his own glory. So in order to understand Krishna fully in his full glory, power, and transcendence, one needs to come to this stage of ahoituki, or without personal motive. That's spontaneous service. In the regulative stage, that's where we are, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, there's some purpose to be fulfilled. Like, you know, we don't like to suffer. That's a good reason. We don't like to suffer. We want to be happy. And this is not a happy place. Because if there's some motivation, what happens when you achieve that thing which you want? The motivation is gone. So that it's broken, it's interrupted. And then, after some time, that thing that you want is used up, and so you need it again, and so it's intermittent. Start, stop. Sankalpa, vikalpa, it's coming from the platform of the mind. There's desires residing within the mind, and so it works like that. Stop, start, intermittent. Anishtita bhakti, unsteady. So where there's Sanskrit word that's used here is amayaya. Amayaya is without reservation. Without reservation. There's no holding back. There's no condition that you put on the service. Service, because we're service beings. And we're service beings regardless of the circumstance. There's no, on the condition that such and such, then I'll serve. And I'll serve favorably. And if there's no such and such, then you don't have my service. Without reservation. It's both sides. No holding back, and no something that's causing it. Ahoituki apratiyata. No cause that's prompting it, nothing on the other end that can check it. no start and no stop. It's springing directly from the soul. Because otherwise, it's on the material platform. Something that can start it, or something that can stop it, is material, either way. So there's no material impetus and no material, whatever, however big the obstacle is, the wall, the block, the thing that's in the way, nothing can stop it. Nothing can start it. Like, the example is the flow of the Ganges during rainy season. Even not during rainy season, the current is very strong. What to speak of it? Rainy season, it's so strong. Try to stop the Ganges. Build a dam. It'll overcome the dam. It can't stop the Ganges. It'll flow downstream. And so, that devotional service that can't be checked by anything. That's speaking of the spontaneous platform. He uses the language. Then, santataya is without any gap. So again, it's stop, start. I feel good. I'll do a lot of service. I'm not feeling so good. I'm not sure I'm going to do so much service. It's not... By that I mean mood. But I'm not happy. So I'm not... Without gap. Nothing stops the activity of devotional service rendered from the soul platform. And favorably, anuvritteya. Anushilana is a word of Rupa Goswami. That it's faith. Krishna should be pleased. And that's the attachment or attraction. I'm going to excuse myself for a moment and use the restroom, wherever that is. It's like on this floor. Okay. Anuvritteya, favorably. The classic from Nectar Devotion is what devotional service is it's favorable. Kamsa was constantly thinking of Krishna, but not favorably. It was kill Krishna. Even thinking of Krishna in that way was so much beneficial for him. But it's not devotional service. So how can we take our constant service, because we're servants, from the unfavorable to the favorable? And Prabhupada gives the obvious answer is by associating with those who are rendering service favorably. Those who are rendering service unto him directly under the direction of his beloved agents are rendering service unto him favorably. Such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord, and by the grace of the Lord they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence. Nice phrase. The mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. So, the cluster of verses here are using, if not this very same language, the idea, the notion that's being presented is getting realization of the personality of Godhead through this Srimad Bhagavatam, through this narration. So there's a qualification. And the qualification, he says it again, constant engagement in the service of the Lord in spontaneous affection. So that's another way of saying this, these other things. That devotional service that's favorable, it's without any gap, without any reservation, uninterrupted. So, it's spontaneous devotional service that's being described. How do we get to spontaneous devotional service? By the vidhis, so this anuvritya, it's the vidhis of sadhana bhakti are to assist us to get to that stage, to bring us to the way of thinking of nothing but what's favorable to Krishna. I mean, if something's not favorable to Krishna, we don't have to think about it. It's no. There's no hesitation. No, as is saying here, no reservation. But they assist us to get to that position if we follow properly. We'll come to that position of spontaneous devotion. That's how the science of bhakti works. It's like, you know, a seed, and then you sprout the seed with certain water and light and so forth, and otherwise the seed remains dormant, and then it sprouts, and then as you nurture it, it grows, and because it's the potency is there within the seed to have the full plant, in the course of time, flowers and then fruits. It works that way. So the unfolding of the seed of bhakti, following the proper vidhis, it helps us grow to the stage where it's spontaneous by proper following. And when that spontaneous stage comes, when the covering of ignorance is removed and there's no interruption in the rendering of devotional service, it's entirely favorable, there's no gap, then this mysterious region, one can understand Krishna, one can see oneself, see Krishna directly. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna expresses in the beginning part of chapter 9, same idea. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. This knowledge is meant to give one direct perception of the self by realization. That's this mysterious region of transcendence. And that is the secret of entering into the kingdom of God, Prabhupada writes. It's a secret, but he's telling a secret. Come to spontaneous devotional service through the medium of regulative devotional service. Then text 40 is, what's the role of Srimad Bhagavatam? The role of Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Sutta, because he just heard it from Shukadeva Goswami and has realized it, he's describing that this is that sound vibration, literary form of the Lord that delivers one into that mysterious region. Very nice. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. It's a pretty good advertisement. Because it's a literary incarnation, that means the Bhagavatam is non-different. The book is not different than the person. You can't say that about too many books. The books represent that person. Like Prabhupada describes this about architecture, that there's certain styles of architecture. I don't know much about architecture, but people that do have described like that. And Prabhupada, you can tell by a certain architecture, oh, that was done by... And it tells something about the personality as well. The straight lines of the cold, hard, modern architecture. Anyway, different styles of architecture. It says something about the persona of the architect, as well as the stamp of that's this architect. So, literature similarly, a certain style of literature that sells, okay, that's written by so-and-so, that's their style. But it tells something about the person. And this is by the incarnation of the Lord, who wrote or compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyas, And the book itself is the personality of Godhead. So it's to be taken as non-different from him. That the Bhagavatam is worshipable. You know, installing Bhagavatam in one's home is like installing a deity. When the devotees, disciples of Prabhupada, were growing and growing and growing in their book distribution to the point where they had not only vans, but they had buses crisscrossing all over the country. And I mean, I did it for I was in one traveling party. We left the temple and didn't come back for 1 year. They would fly books in by air containers from Los Angeles, and just, you know, we go to the airport, pick up the contents of the air container, fill up the van. Literally, is right to the ceiling. You know, we all had to cram in the front seats. And then as we distributed the books, we slept on top of the rest of the books till the books were all gone. Then they pull in another air container and just did that for one party, stayed out for a whole year. By the time the 1 year was over, we were limp. We needed to go back to the temple. I remember we were looking at each other. We spent a couple of days where it was almost nothing, and we realized we're depleted. You know, the battery's empty. We need to go back and charge. But so the devotees asked Prabhupada, when we're on traveling Sankirtan, should we have deities? Should we take deities? And Prabhupada's answer was, no, the books are your deities. Just worship them. Heard that, we didn't know if we should continue sleeping on top of the books. But we didn't have any other place to sleep. We would find some places. I don't know, those are interesting Sankirtan stories. Hare Krishna. We did some really wild things. We were distributing books in universities in the middle of the winter. One of the assignments was to find a basement near the boiler room so we could go where it was warm and no one would find us. We just like roll out our sleeping bags near the boiler room because we didn't want to spend any money. Hare Krishna. Wild, woolly days. So, by associating directly with the personality of Godhead, Prabhupada, he says it three times. It's very similar, it's not completely identical, but it's just, you know, Mahima. We can derive the ultimate blessings of the Lord through the careful and patient study of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ultimate blessings of the Lord through careful and patient study of the Bhagavatam. We can have all the transcendental light of the Supreme Brahman, Sri Krishna, from recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then another, this is in one purport, one can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. Because the emphasis here is they're not different. Just as we can say about the holy name, we can say also about the sound representation, specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam. How enthusiastic was Prabhupada to provide us with Srimad Bhagavatam so that we could associate with Krishna personally. Now there's a catch. Provided that it is received through the medium of a transparent spiritual master. Here Prabhupada explains that in Jagannath Puri, when Sarup Damodar Maharaj was saying that according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you want to know the Lord, then you need to study Srimad Bhagavatam under a qualified person. Otherwise, it's not possible to understand it. So, you know the story. People would come literary people with something glorification of the Supreme Lord. So they would want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear their nice writing. And he would refuse unless it was approved by Srupa Damodar. And largely, it was rejected because it didn't meet this qualification. So it gives it one example. One Brahmin wanted to have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hear his nice writing. And Srupa Damodar didn't even want to hear the man recite it. But after Mukunda's persuasion, and so finally, all right, I'll hear it. So when he heard it, it was bogus. And everyone didn't understand that. This is so nice. He was saying something that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Jagannath, but Lord Jagannath is the wooden Lord and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the moving Lord. So then Srupa Damodar asked him, could you explain this, what you meant by this and what you meant by that? When you were saying that the Lord is within Jagannath, what do you mean? He meant it literally, within. Bogus. The deity is not to be taken as wooden. And within the wooden deity is the Lord. The deity is the Lord. Anyway, after the discussion, he said, "You're nonsense. If you really want to understand the Lord and glorify the Lord, then you should hear properly from a qualified person the whole message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you can understand the Lord." And that's very good advice. Very good advice, because there's so many people in the world, so many people in the spiritual marketplace that have some idea, and it's without the Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatriki, Vidimbina, without reference to the authorized scriptures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, then it's useless. It's worse than useless. It's the disturbance. Utpat. Big disturbance. On the other hand, if Srimad Bhagavatam is heard in the proper manner from the proper source, then one is eligible to see Krishna. And that's again in the final purport of this chapter, text 44, Prabhupada writes, "The real process of receiving the Bhagavatam is one should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Sri Krishna in every page." The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But somehow or other, if one hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. I guess we have to practice on our purity of mind, purity of action, purity of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But somehow or other go on hearing to help achieve that so that we can see Krishna. Okay. What time does everybody have to run off to work? 8 o'clock? Okay. Any questions?
Program is 7 to 8:30. That includes taking prasadam.
Any questions? Yes.
Is it true that when he was dying in Kala, Archibald Krishna is really
his intention, just listen carefully, his intention was to call his son. One of the Acharyas, Viraragava, says that when he was calling for his son in that panic situation, he remembered the Lord. His intention was not calling the Lord. Therefore, Abbas, Nam Abbas. But he did remember the Lord. Like Gajendra. When Gajendra remembered the Lord, he remembered the prayers. But he remembered, you know, the Lord, please save me. So what, regardless whether he remembered the Lord or not, is the what that Ajamila section describes three times. That is, the Vishnu Dutas describe, and Yamaraj describes, and then again Shukadeva Goswami says it again, that Abbas, Nam Abbas, is so powerful that even if one is not, it's unintentional, that's because that's one of the categories of Nam Abbas, it has the potency to relieve one of all sinful reactions. Even if he hadn't remembered the Lord. But he did remember the Lord. Because of, you know, the intensity of the situation, he remembered. And from, you know, so long ago, what he had just forgotten. But even Gajendra was in a previous life. He remembered. So there's some good fortune in calamity. Gets intense. Our sense of security in material affairs is gone. And so all that's left is Krishna's shelter, which is all there really is, in fact. Okay, anything else?
Maharaj, like earlier you said that there should not be any gaps in our devotional service. Right now in this corporate world where we are, we don't have a definite amount of like each day what we do. Sometimes it will be more, sometimes it will be less, and then so there is ups and downs. So what do you really mean that there should not be gaps? Because some days we might, our sadhanas might not be, though we do all the rounds, but it might not be in the morning because of the workload.
So the gap, by gap it means that your conscious is being attached to Krishna. There should be no gap and you're being attached to Krishna. Whether you're sadhanas like this or like that, or whether you're at work or not at work, it's the weekend. It's the circumstance does not dictate your, should not dictate how much attachment to Krishna you have. No gap in that sense.
Vidhi.
Yeah. There's details, but yes.
Pratanavrita means finding the faults with ourselves, and by the same time we have to perform devotional service very happily. So finding the faults means how to perform devotional service happily, at the same time find the faults and still be happy.
Supposing someone's a gardener and they're out in the garden and they're planting the little seedlings that they've sprouted, and they see some weeds and they're removing the weeds. They're happy because they like gardening and they know that's part of gardening. Someone is in the kitchen and they're making an offering for Krishna. They like to cook. And after the cooking is done, they're cleaning the pot. They're not thinking, oh, I've got to clean this pot. That's, I don't like that part of the cooking. Because it's for Krishna, cleaning the pot is part of their happiness. They like to cook. That our life is on the path. We've chosen that this path of pure devotional service, it's been offered to us and we're saying yes and we're going down that path, and there's some impurity that needs to be removed. We're happy to remove that impurity it's part of the happiness of the path of pure devotional service. Yes.
All times are Krishna, favorably or so the people who do not know anything about Krishna and they are doing vikarmas of sense gratification. So they are also serving Krishna?
Yeah, unfavorably. They may not be, you know, on the level of Kamsa, of unfavorably, but it's unfavorably. But they're serving Krishna, also. Krishna is the source of everything. Well, it's unfavorable. It's like the comparison that Prabhupada would sometimes give is the government is in charge of the people of a certain tract of land. And some of the people that are in that tract of land, they're lawbreakers. So the police are, you know, find those individuals, whatever, however, and they're taken to trial and they're put in jail. They're under the custody of the care of the government. So those persons in jail may be thinking, I don't care about the government. But they're under the care of the government. They're serving the government in jail. I don't want to serve the government. I don't like this. What government? I don't care for these people. Okay.
So, in the inmates serving atheists,
they're serving Krishna.
They're all serving Krishna.
They're serving Krishna. Unfavorably. Quite unfavorably. Because constitutionally, they're as souls, they're servants. It's explicitly described like that in Ishopanishad also. Favorable, unfavorable, but serving. And that's how a transcendentalist sees. They're also, you know, we have this ISKCON vernacular that says non-devotee. But that's their disposition. But they're serving Krishna, unfavorably. They're either consciously breaking vidhis or they don't know. And they're breaking vidhis, but that's not... There's constitutionally servants of Krishna. From that perspective, everyone is serving Krishna. We can speak the other way. Kamsa wasn't serving Krishna. But constitutionally, he's serving Krishna. Okay?
With this question,
yeah.
But following other religions, and those religions seem to be okay.
Finish the question. What's the question?
So the question is how that is unfavorable because they just know about their religion and the religion prescribes animal slaughter. And they're just following the religion that they know since their birth. And how do they end up getting the reactions if you know what they're not supposed to do?
Well, I'm listening. I'm trying to hear very carefully what your question is. The last part was, how will they be punished because they didn't even know? Prabhupada's answer to that is, if a child puts his hand in fire, what does the fire do? Does he say, oh, he didn't know? There's a law. Fire burns. But then, so the next is to say, well, but he thought, this isn't burn, this is cool. Fire burns because he didn't know. The fire still burns. Well, wait a minute, you know, his teaching says it doesn't burn. But it burns. Then the teaching is mistaken. And that was what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Chankas. He said, what kind of scripture are you studying that says eat your mother? What is that? He said, well, you know, in your religion, there's also cow sacrifice. Cow sacrifice is not cow killing. It's rejuvenation of the cow. Not, you know, a good ritual that now you can go eat your mother. Why is this there in your scripture? And the answer of Chankazi was, you're right. There's many mistakes in our scripture. He was a scholar and he knew it. He said, but what can I do? It's my religion. It's my scripture. So I follow it. But you're right. Mahaprabhu, you know, at least you're honest. Because it's true, it's not right. It's not, fundamentally, it's not right. as in the scripture. It was also explained, it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Yes, that's there in the Pravritti section, but later in the Nivritti section, it's actually better to do without that. So, better you follow this Nivritti section of the Quran. Better to do without it. That's for people who can't control themselves. So under some regulation, here's the method. For those that can control themselves, do without it. That's better.
So Maharaj, recently I had a conversation with one person who was a strict follower of Christianity.
Okay.
So they said that Jesus Christ is the only way for the salvation. There is no other way.
Okay.
Should be. Jesus Christ said that? Was that? Or did they come up?
Is there rendering of what statement is there, and we agree with the statement that was made, provided it's properly understood. We say similar thing. Listen carefully. This is how you can respond to your Christian friend who won't accept what you say. Having been there, I know that they don't accept what you say. But there's two ways to answer this, if somebody wants to be reasonable. The statement is, no one comes unto the Father except through me. We say, that's right. No one comes unto the Father except through the representative of God. Or his pure devotee. You can't, Krishna says that in Adi Purana to Arjuna. This is not my devotee, this is my devotee. So the step back from the statement. What is he describing? He's describing a principle. And they'll say, no, it's not a principle. It's him only. Because then, the other is him only. It's because he's the only begotten Son. It's him only. So, to the only begotten Son idea, I said, I don't accept that. You can beget many children and God can beget only one child. Our scriptures say, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he's the seed-giving father of all living entities. He's got so many sons. And you say God is impotent, he has only one son, sorry. That's not the God I know.
But at the same time, they say that we are all the children of God.
It's a rhetorical rendering, or it's sophistry, it's rendering of the statement of the Bible so that they have some exclusive or something. Another common sense is, let's look at the nature of God. Is God loving and compassionate, or the opposite? Of course he's loving and compassionate. Okay. Let's take the logic of what you just said. Everybody that existed before Christ appeared went to hell. And everybody after Christ existed that doesn't follow that particular path is also going to hell. And they say, right, that's right. Is that consistent with God as loving and compassionate? It's not consistent. That's the God that you're accepting is not the God that I believe in, and I have faith in, the God that I know. I'm sorry. Then another back to, because your first question was, did Christ really say that? Another answer is, the translation that you're referring to in English comes from the Aramaic, which is pater. No one comes to the Father except through pater, one who is of the Father. Which is true. We have this same understanding. We agree. Not with your rendering of it, though. That's where we disagree. And then depends upon the individual. The individual being a dogmatist will not accept what you say, and others won't know what to say. if they're reasonable, they won't know what to say. Because they want to be right, they don't want to be, like, not right. Wrong. Yes?
Considering two options, whether one is like going like fast without not going too much depth in each way so that you can completely transcend, or take the time to go as deep as possible in each verse, and so even though it takes a lot of time to complete it, okay.
And take assistance from commentaries.
Yeah.
And that takes time also. And then you know, this becomes illumined and that becomes illumined. And then some other reference over here. It's not just, you know, the poetic beauty of it is also part of appreciating Bhagavatam. But it, you know, this embellishment, that embellishment helps bring the message out more clearly. Prabhupada's purports for starters, and that fulfills, that in itself fulfills a major part. That is, instead of, because there are renderings that are cuckoo, so this isn't cuckoo. It's authorized or authentic. And then, in addition to that, those who have very carefully, just like Sutta Goswami. He wasn't Shukadeva Goswami, but he heard from Shukadeva Goswami. And it was appreciated by the sages. Not only you heard it, but you've understood it. Not only you've understood it, but you've assimilated it. It's within your being now. And so we want to hear from you. So someone who has gone through that process, in addition to Prabhupada's purports. And ideally, the Bhagavatam is meant to be discussed in the association of others. That brings the nectar or the sweetness, the juice of the Bhagavatam out through the process of discussion, just like we're doing. Yes.
Every Saturday, some people are visiting me from church, inviting me, get training about religion and everything.
Okay.
And they're asking to invite me to church. So, I train Bhagavad Gita for them, the Holy Krishna, and not visiting. And it's going from last 2 months, but I'm not visiting church.
Your hopeless case. You're a hopeless case.
What did I do?
Is it the same
person?
Same person. You know, give him a cookie for being so persistent. Do you get a sense that they're assimilating anything out of what you've been explaining? Maybe a polite way of terminating this is you literally you prepare some nice prasadam, and every time you come to every time this is the last time we're going to have some discussion, but every time you come to my door, I'll offer you some nice food. You have to say it's, you know, prasadam offered to Krishna. Come to my door as many times as you like, and I'll offer you some very nice of our traditional Indian foods as a reciprocation, a cultural reciprocation for your coming to my door. But no more discussion on this. My life has become much more busy now, and it was nice. You're a pleasant person, but I just literally don't have the time. I'm very involved with the temple and with my job, and I just don't have the time. But come as many times as you like. Yes?
So we had a similar experience in 2011 when I was here.
Yeah. People would come and knock on Saturday mornings and try to talk about Christianity.
Yeah.
So the way it was handled was, you are appreciating them for spreading the word of the thing. They could be doing much more in terms of playing by into that opinion, and then I would explore through what we know about scriptures. It's great. And I would give them a very small introduction. Take this, take their pamphlet, give them ours, and say, if you have any questions, come back. They would never come back.
But this is a person that for however it came to be, it's the same person coming again and again and again, and now how to respectfully deal with it. Yeah.
So Maharaj, is it that they don't want to listen to any
other thing? Oh, right, that's right.
Because
it's the general rule is when you run across such a person, you smile, say, have a nice day. And they want to keep talking, and you just smile and say, have a nice day. Thank you. Have a nice day. You're a nice person. I appreciate your enthusiasm. Have a nice day. It's, you know, even on book distribution, because that's just, it's a time waster. Because they have absolutely no interest of hearing anything. You've got a club in their hand and it's behind their back, and you know, when you're not looking, they start banging you on the head with their club. You go, you know, in various ways. Sometimes grosser, sometimes subtler. You start with Christ is the only way, and you go round and around and come back as Christ is the only way. Because actually everything else they say doesn't have substance, nor does that one, the only way. That's because we dealt with the only way one.
Because are they afraid that if you don't believe in Christ, they are going to go to hell?
No, they think we are. If we don't accept their word, then we're going to hell. And it, so their parting message is then, I'll pray for you. Jesus loves you.
Yeah, that same thing happened to me. I'll pray for you, yeah.
Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, brother. Yeah. And, you know, I did that with an Indian man. It was in the Chicago airport. He was on the same airplane. He was the most obnoxious Christian I've met in my life. Jesus loves you. I looked back at her and said, and Krishna loves you. But he wouldn't stop. He just was, you know, obnoxious to the max. I said, I'm going to call the police. I'll have you arrested for harassment. Please stop. He kept going. As you know, said, I'm serious. I'm going to go get the police. There's one right over there. Leave me alone. I'll have you arrested for harassment. I'll press charges, take you to jail. Leave me alone. He was obnoxious to the max. Then he went and found somebody else and did the same thing.
So Mary came in with Narayan Prabhu in his excitement to talk to Narayan, who was asleep very slow. And then Narayan Ras Prabhu, we were just walking from there. That lady stops and says, I used to be a pujari of Narayan Chandra. Now I'm a Christian preacher. I know the better way. Narayan Ras Prabhu immediately said, okay, my sister, you know the better. Please walk out of here. And then she wanted to argue, so I said, I'll call police if you want me right away. But
some people are like that. Some people are. This is the spectrum. But largely, it's the the circular starts with and it ends with. It doesn't go anywhere. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
No, one more.
One more.
Actually, internally, I still am thinking this is just one another tradition or something like that, and I'm thinking, did it grow as far as it goes? I mean, like, I'm holding back instead of surrendering to Krishna. Maybe I just see how far it goes or something.
Okay, that's your autobiography. Now what?
So.
What's the question?
So, I'm just thinking maybe this life I'll go the same way. I'll just survive.
Okay. It's your choice. It's not what's recommended, but yayatam mampapadyante tangstadagopajamino. Yeah, you're bringing it up because you don't want to stay there, but you're staying there. So, you want to hear some words that say, oh, you shouldn't stay there. And then you say, yeah, but. So, you know, continue in the association of those devotees that are not saying, yeah, but, and you'll probably move from that position. You know, gradually. Sometimes the mind is stubborn, but by association. And they're not going to, you know, feel badly. But, you know, this, you're, as you described, is going on. Frankly, it's because of your sincerity that you recognize that's going on. And it's also the association of those that are moving forward that's helping you even more understand that's what's going on. So keep that association. Nurture that sincerity and progress will be made slowly. But it will be slow. But slowly. It will grow. When I was... someone shared with me about how cactuses grow. It relates to your statement. Cactuses grow a half an inch in 1 year. So that's one of the ways how they determine roughly how old a cactus is how tall it is. Half an inch makes 1 year, and however many inches makes however old it is. Because there's very little water. It's the nature of a cactus. Besides, it has prickers. There's very little water. If somehow other plants are able to take in more water, they can grow more. So, you know, the receptivity of, similarly, what you can take in of the mercy that's being offered to you very generously, being extended by Krishna and the so many resources Krishna provides, the more that sincere eagerness to take in more of that mercy, then you'll move. You'll progress. So don't stay stuck in lamenting on, you know, this is my situation. Give more attention to the sincerity part and more attention to serve the devotees part. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. I like that verse. Okay, it's time for prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.